in association with NFLishook.com. The Ghost Show, your original LSU podcast. Midweek edition, flying high. Top 10. 45-21 beatdown of them freaking birds. Saturday afternoon in Tiger Stadium. I am Kerry Munch, your host. Patrick Morris with me. Giddy as all hell, I'm sure, as I am too tonight. What's up, Pat?
Oh, not much, but I'm confused. Wait, they're the birds now? I thought they were the planesmen.
I don't give a damn what they are. You know what they are? Freaking
they're
2-1.
Oh, that's right. They're 2-1, sorry.
2-1, 0-1 conference with a new starting quarterback on Saturday. That's right. We chased the freaking quarterback. We got them. We got Auburn in turmoil. Poor Tammy's calling in the fine bomb. She's leaving her husband and kicking him out with the catfish. And man, we are just.
The quarterback doesn't know whether to wear a glove on his hand, not wear a glove.
Yeah. The offensive coordinator is throwing the glove into the fifth row of the stadium. He's like, man, get the damn glove off your hand. He's like, I mean, he's just, they are confused, man. They don't know what's going on in Auburn. It was supposed to be tops of the SEC. Jeremy Johnson was a Heisman Trophy candidate.
The next Cam Newton.
The next Cam Newton. So it looks more like Jordan Jefferson. So anyway, I'm happy, Pat. I don't know about you.
How can you not be happy after witnessing what we witnessed on Saturday?
Yeah, and we will dive into that very fully as well as preview the Syracuse Orange in the Carrier Dome, 11 a.m. That is 12 Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, on ESPN, on the ESPN network.
Are they just the Orange now, or are they still the Orange Men?
They are the Orange, just like the Stanford Cardinal. It's not the Cardinals. It's the Cardinal. It's the Orange. It's been like 2 decades now. They've been the Orange.
Well, I know, but it's kind of like St. John's. They're no longer the Red Men. You know,
the Red Storm.
The Red Storm. Yeah. You know,
but that was a Native American.
They'll always be the Orange Men to me. Who cares?
Right. You're right. They'll always be the Orange Men. You are correct. But ways to get in touch with the show, as always, you can download us free to your smartphone device via iTunes. You can follow us on Facebook. You can find the show also at our partner site, SB Nation site, www.andthevalleyshook.com. Managing editor and creator of the Ghost Show podcast, behind the scenes pushing buttons. And you can follow us at Valley. You can follow the site at Valley Shook. I am once again at Ghost Show Kerry, GeauxShowCarey. Patrick Morris.
I am at Cat Godfather. That is KATT Godfather.
So, and you can always tell when the season's in bloom because me and Patrick Morris are hitting all cylinders here on a Wednesday night via Skype doing this podcasting thing. I will be joined a little bit later by John Casillo. He is from SB Nation site for Syracuse. Now, follow me here, Pat. Listen to the name of this website.
Got it.
Troy Nunes is an absolute magician.com.
What the freaking Sam heck is that?
It's awesome. It's like the most innovative website, SB Nation website name I have heard. You know, it beats
it beats
For Whom the Cowbell Tolls and whatever the hell Arkansas is, woopigsuey.com. I don't know.
Is there a character limit on the website? I mean,
apparently not. No, but apparently the podcast played the audio for me off air. Apparently, it comes from a radio call from like a 1992 Syracuse game against Auburn.
Was that when they had a good quarterback there? What was his name?
It was Troy Nunes was the quarterback. It wasn't Donovan McNabb. I know where you're going with that.
Yep.
So this predates Donovan McNabb because McNabb was there late 90s. Because he was a rookie in the NFL, probably, 99, 2000-ish?
Right.
So this predates him. But the touchdown pass that was thrown, or whatever this call comes from, was actually thrown to David Tyree.
So that's old.
Yeah. This lets you know how long he had actually been in the league. Because he was the one that caught the
overhead pass from Eli.
Right, yeah.
So he must have been like 40 years old when he caught that.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Good night.
So that's enough about that. But we'll be joined by that guy later. He and I had a good conversation about the Cuse, about their walk-on quarterback that's going to get the start on Saturday. And Patrick and I will dive into that as well. But first, oh my gosh, we sat in my garage in August, and we said if we can get through September or going into Syracuse, if we can if we can sweep State and Auburn, the rest of, you know, Syracuse and all of October was sitting pretty nicely for LSU. Well, Patrick, here we are. We 3-0. The only thing we really got to worry about now is getting anointed as too good, too fast. That's what I'm scared of right now, Patrick. That's my biggest concern right now.
The big head. Yep, the big head syndrome.
Yeah,
which, you know, everything I'm hearing from and listening to the local shows and all this week, it seems to me they're saying the right things out in the media. You know, oh, yeah, it's not about me. It's about the team. Let's just try and keep winning. We try and keep getting better. They're saying the right things, but they're college kids. You know, obviously they're coached to say the right things. They're, you know, at a major college program, you take classes and you work with the media department there on what to say. But, you know, hopefully they're believing what they're saying.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, and I hope you're right. And I'd be remiss if I don't, you know, I was thinking about this morning, Patrick, and throughout the day. You know, in years past, Les Miles, our MO has always been, you know, how many times have we discussed the word identity, forming an identity on offense?
Oh, man. God, I think you could go back to every season of the Go Show and from the beginning, and we always say, what is going to be our identity this year?
Like, we always run first. We always run heavy. And we were always good at it. But now it seems that we're still that. But now it looks like what they did in the offseason is they said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We have a dominant offensive line. We have a good blocking tight end in Dylan Gordon. You have a guy in John David Moore who is team first. He doesn't care about anything else except for blowing up middle linebackers to create holes for Leonard Fournette. And LSU just said, from what it looks like, you know what? We're just going to perfect what we do.
And did we mention that we have a tight end?
We have a blocking tight end. We have a guy we throw to. I think he caught three passes on Saturday.
Three passes. I think that's more than a tight end's caught in 5 years.
Colin Geedy caught the touchdown pass. He caught two other passes.
And he took a lick and still got back up and did it.
Hey, man, that's the best thing about taking licks. You get back up and do it. But look, for right now, this LSU football team has an identity. It's running the football. And unlike other years past, we've gone and we've actually perfected it. We have a great offensive line. They are doing just the right things right now with a great mix of Fournette, Harris. They mixed in Geis, Brissett, and Williams on Saturday. And I think if they continue to do this, and I don't want to speak, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I think it's just a matter of time before you see Brennan Harris with a breakout passing game. You know, he's 12 of 17, 74 yards. A lot of it was a lot of dump off passes. They were doing some things where he actually gets credit for completions where they were running like a jet sweep. Mm-hmm. He ran out of a pistol instead of just handing the ball off. He would just pitch it forward to Trayvon Doral, and that's actually a pass completion.
But so, what I was impressed about with Harris was obviously it was his first game in Tiger Stadium. Let's face it, his first real game in Tiger Stadium. He came out. He was going to be jacked up. You could tell by the first couple of throws. I mean, he was throwing the crap out the ball. I don't know if anybody could have caught those balls, how hard he was trying to throw them. But you notice after he took a few licks, you know, when we ran the ball a few times and he settled down, I know we were way ahead in the second half, but I was impressed with the way he was just settling into his throws in the second half. It seemed to come naturally easy to him to hit that, you know, 10 to 15 yard, you know, that little over the middle pass. It seemed to come a lot better to him in the second half after he calmed down, got that nervous energy out. And, you know, to me, this team is, as of right now, to me, it's only going to get better. I don't see it going backwards from here. I see it getting better because this offense, like you just said, is going to open up even more. The more he gets comfortable with the offense, the more the coaches get comfortable with him in this offense, knowing that he's making the right decisions. If it's not there, you know what? I'm throwing it away. I'm going to live to see another play. Those are the things you look for in that quarterback. And let's just knock on wood. Hopefully something had clicked in him and said, I just have to manage this team and my time to shine will come.
Right. And I'll make a kind of a goofy analogy here with the passing game, just kind of sitting back and waiting for its time. And I can't remember which can't remember which Rocky movie it was where Mickey kind of, I guess it was Rocky too. We kind of, he forced him, he tied his left hand and forced him to jab right-handed because he...
Because he was fighting the left-handed hitter.
Right. And he hated, because he hated, he said a southpaw boxer wasn't worth the crap, so he forced him, kind of forced him, and then the middle of the Creed Rocky fight in Rocky II, like middle of like seventh, eighth round, he told him to go ahead and make the switch then because he was going to keep Creed off balance that way. And that's what I'm kind of liking in this this passing game too. Is like, oh, there's going to be a game somewhere, and all of a sudden we're just going to start chunking the ball downfield. And I'm not saying we're going to throw the ball 40 times, but we're going to start hitting some midfield range. And Harris is going to have a game like 16 to 22 for like 190 yards and a couple of touchdowns. You'd be like, oh shit. And, you know, but still time will tell. Who knows? Auburn and Mississippi State, Auburn and Mississippi State play each other on Saturday. Now Auburn's switching quarterbacks. So now LSU is almost in a no-win position with this game against Auburn. Because if Auburn comes out and looks great with this Sean White guy and they play lights out the rest of the year, it's going to look good for LSU schedule-wise, but LSU didn't beat that Auburn team. That's going to kind of in end. But if they look like,
to me, that doesn't matter. I mean, they still were touted with the talent to do this from the get-go. They still were supposed to have a running game. They were still supposed to have all this other stuff,
yeah.
And that didn't happen against us. So our defense shut them down, so I don't care what people say.
I hear you. And what I really like to see is Muschamp's defense get better and better as the year goes on, hopefully. Hopefully they don't continue to get shredded the way we shredded them up. But, hopefully that game on Saturday is a good competitive game and we see good football between those two teams because I don't really want to see it lopsided either way. I believe the game is in Auburn, if I'm not mistaken.
So it would be good for Mississippi State to go in there and put up a really good show, and being we had to play Mississippi State at home.
Right.
But still see Auburn probably come away with the win, give us a little better victory there.
I don't know. I guess do you rather the team that you beat in Starkville go on the road and win a game, or would you rather the team that you blew out win a game at home? I mean, I guess I don't know if it's really – I guess it's just kind of a wash, really.
You know what I say at this point? Let's let them win. The one wins by 2 points or the other wins by 2 points – it doesn't matter. If we take care of our business, it ain't going to matter.
Right. And that's going to all boil down to, you know, what we do in November. I mean, it's can't look too far ahead. Florida's defense looking pretty strong. Still not really convinced about their offense. I don't know if they can come to Tiger Stadium and win. South Carolina just looks atrocious. But still, you always worry.
It's one of those games where you got go that, up there just, overconfident.
Just got that doubt. That doubt, you know, in the back of your mind, it's a road game. Now, granted, I don't think LSU, since South Carolina has been in the conference, I don't think LSU's lost there probably since the early 90s. I mean, I know they haven't lost. They've only been there, I think, twice maybe in the 2000s, maybe three. I know I was there for a Nick Saban game, and they had the game, the referee game, when he got in the way. And that's the only two I remember. I think we only play them once every four years, so.
Yeah, I mean, but you get back to, like, games like this. Okay, we got Syracuse, then we come home and play the other Sisters of the Poor and this and that and whatever else. You know, but the only thing that you hope to get out of these games is, okay, let's work and let's expand the offense a little further. Let's go up to the Carrier Dome, which is going to be on a different surface. And, you know, let's get out of there healthy and, you know, show another dominating performance, take the lead easy, work on some things. And move on from there. I mean, if I'm looking for one thing out of this game, get out of there healthy. I think the speed on a surface like that is real. You think we're fast in our building or in our stadium? Wait till we get on turf. I think it's going to be unreal how fast we're going to show ourselves.
Yeah, and I think over the next 5 weeks, Leonard Fournette should average only about 12 to 17 carries a game.
Oh, yeah, I think they need to save him. Honestly, I'm with you. Let's save him for the SEC. Get your young backs some work. You know, hell, our young backs can start almost any team in the country.
Geist
any
is a good
team
runner.
In the country. He is Geist, good.
He's a good runner.
And he started to see that vision. You could tell once he got a few carries on it, he actually started to see the vision in some of those later carries in a game where he kind of waited, then hit it. instead of just trying to hit it fast the whole time. You could actually see the progression during the game of the way he was running the ball.
Yeah, and Brandon Harris with his design runs. That I think it was the last touchdown we scored, and he made that little bootleg move. It was down in our end zone. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful.
They have so much to look for. Now you've got defenses thinking everything. Okay, yeah, he does have an arm. He can throw the ball. Oh, crap, the tight end can catch the ball now. Oh, man, he can run to the side or he can go down. So now I got to leave somebody home on the backside afraid that he's going to run the other way. So now you've got five different things the defense is thinking about. And this is before we even open up the passing game, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, where we go downfield a little more. Think – I mean, that's the things I'm thinking about all week when I'm, like, looking at the game and looking at the replays again. And I'm like, oh, God, this team – has so much ability to just take it to that next level.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they've got the guys. I mean, the guys on the front line, both defensive lines, are playing good. That play Frank Herring made, that strip sack and fumble recovery, was a great play. You know, we've been talking about so much about how efficient the offense was, and of course, I mean, you can't say enough about Leonard Fournette. He's the freaking talk of the country right now. You know, throwing guys, five and carrying guys over his back and then juking a guy right after he does that. You know,
I just like him running over people.
Seeking out guys, seeking out guys to hit, to run over. I mean, did you see the one dude, I think it was his first touchdown, the dude who was talking shit early in the week.
Oh, he got out the way.
Yeah, he ran over there and he made a half-assed attempt. And I'm about to Will Muschamp chewed his ass out of the field room. Because that was, oh my gosh, I saw that effort, and I'm just like, oh, I don't want to be that guy in the film room.
Yeah, especially not with Muschamp. Muschamp's a good coach. He's a good defensive coach. Don't get me wrong.
And the only thing to worry about Fournette is someone needs to tell him to stop diving over piles for the end zone.
He
took that. I didn't realize he took a helmet to the knee. I didn't realize that's why he came out the game.
Yeah, a little bruised knee.
He limped off the field. Until I watched the replay. I had no idea. Otherwise, he probably would have broke.
You know, getting to the defensive side of the ball, just think about our corners, freshmen, just completely shut. Their receivers, they did nothing. Freshmen. Well, to me, it's like a whole new secondary for me. So
you guys still got Trey White there. So
all right. So okay, we got one freshman. Fine, just shoot me down while I'm kicked.
Well, you said it like three times last week, and I kept saying this. Kevin Talbot was the only freshman.
Well, either way. But I count Jefferson as young and all that stuff, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so there you go. I got two. Anyway, all right, so I'll quit saying freshman. Our younger secondary.
There you go. Right, that's better.
Does that work for you, politically correct?
It's not PC. It's just correct.
Okay, so anyway, the way we can shut down people is, to me, that's the whole key to defense. I mean, we have the confidence that, okay, defensive line, you go after it. Linebackers, you do what you got to do. We got this in the backside. And we, you know, there was nobody for him to throw to all game. Nobody.
No.
So to speak. You know, and then what you going to do? So we're going to stop the run at that point. They got nothing. Nothing. And speed. I mean, you know, and we saw the speed against Mississippi State and those guys. I said, oh, we're fast to the outside. But then when we're running down some, you know, that running back for Auburn's not a bad running back.
No,
and we're
not
running him down sideline to sideline, catching up to him with our big guys. We are fast as all can be.
Yeah. It's shaping up. It's shaping up pretty nicely.
If we can just get a punter.
Hey, no, I was told I owe an apology to Jamie King because I blasted him too. I was too hard on him last week.
Well, somebody's got to be hard on a kicker.
He was efficient. He was efficient on Saturday.
Okay.
I guess when you're punting from the midfield the whole game, you don't get a chance to really boom a kick. And, you know,
No, you don't. And, you know, he was on one of the interviews talking about that, you know, how he went in after the first game, reviewed the game film, how he rushed his punts a little bit. And actually, he was one of the guys being interviewed about all that. So, yeah, okay. You give him a pass, I'll give him a pass if you do.
Okay, I got to give him a pass. But, hey. Okay. Our field goal kicker got his first field goal attempt. He nailed that. He's perfect on extra points, so we can't, you know, he's kicking balls deep into the end zone, too. It sucks because we can't yell Della Hussein in the stadium anymore, but so far so good for Trent Domingue, so good for him.
Okay, good deal.
So all in all, I think we're pretty satisfying day, a pretty satisfying victory, and time to kind of build upon that as we travel to the carrier dome on Saturday night, on Saturday morning. Saturday afternoon Eastern time, so it's not as early for them out there. It's 12.
Did they say what they're doing yet as far as travel? Usually they go up on that Friday night. Are they going up early?
I believe they're going up early. From if I heard correctly, yes.
Probably our managing editor could get us that information.
I think I heard that they are going to be practicing in Syracuse or somewhere on Friday. So I think it's going to be a walkthrough maybe Thursday morning and then traveling.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little bit different environment. You got a bright white roof on that thing. You've got a, you know, it's a dome, but it's very tight on top of you. You know, so it's a little different up there from everything I've heard. I've never been in it personally, but from everything I've heard.
Yeah, I think it's about the size of the Astrodome, or what the Astrodome was, maybe even a little bit smaller, to be honest with you. Yeah, it's not. You can definitely fit probably two of them in a Superdome. So you're gonna find out just how interested LSU is in this game probably in the first couple of drives. I think you're gonna establish Fournette probably early. If you build up that 21-0 lead early on, which is a definite possibility, go ahead and just get him out. I don't care if he's only got 70 yards or whatever. He's not gonna win the Heisman Trophy against Syracuse.
Well, you're not basing a Heisman Trophy on strictly yardage anyway. People know if they're gonna watch that game, they're gonna say, because he's got all the hype, he's the early game of the day. They're gonna say, oh, if he goes in there for three drives, looks like a world beater, and they pull him out, everybody's gonna say, yep, this is the guy. You know, it don't matter how many yards he gets.
And it exposes him to a totally different audience. That's gonna be the really cool thing is you know, showcasing them early, but going in, this is a business trip. Take care of business.
But, you know, you got to be a little excited for this trip. It actually is not a bad trip for them to take. You just came off of a big game at Tiger Stadium, but then you get to go someplace that's exciting. I mean, to me, I'd be excited to go to Syracuse. How many, you know, Southeastern Conference teams go up to Syracuse to play a game or, you know, go to a place like the Carrier Dome, which you always hear about? You got to be excited to go up there almost.
True. I'm with you.
Yeah, so, I know. Gotcha.
I'm excited. I'm not going.
I'm ecstatic. Hell, we are 2.5-0 this year.
So with Saturday, I mean, we know it's a walk-on quarterback. This sets up a game for LSU to probably even sleepwalk through and probably still come out with a pretty easy victory. I mean, you don't want to see a guy a walk-on just setting the world on fire against you. I don't really expect that to happen. I mean, the old adage is defense travels. So even if the offense is sleepwalking a little bit early on, which I don't really think it will be, just because what we talked about, what LSU does is just, I mean, I think we're just too strong up front. I think just by accident, LSU will fall into the end zone a couple of times, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I can see a turnover for a TD this game.
Yeah, hopefully so. I'd like to see. I mean, and let's not tell them, we're talking about the defense. 2014, 11 sacks the entire year. 2015, through two games, 8.
Yes.
8 sacks.
You think that's got something to do with the defensive line coach?
It might.
Just a little bit motivating them a little bit, a little bit of scheming. So. I mean, there's no doubt about, he's a motivator, but he's also one of the best technique teaching guys in the country too when it comes to that.
Right. Exactly. So looking forward, LSU needs to just come out and just take care of business. Put this game away early so I can get on about my day and do what I need to do.
Well, then we can watch the rest of the SEC slate, try and have at each other. Hell, they got some good games on this weekend.
Well, I won't be with y'all.
Oh, uh-oh.
Well, I didn't tell you. I thought I told everybody.
No.
I got my
you probably told the liberal tailgate.
I might have. No, I got my high school reunion Saturday, and after the game, we're going up to New Orleans for the evening and night.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I'm watching a game with a couple of my old high school partners, and going to New Orleans, doing that. So,
well, look at you.
I know. I'm sorry, but let's get back to the game. Nobody cares about that shit.
Except for our two loyal listeners.
Yes. Yeah. And one particular guy keeps blasting me on Twitter. No, he's not blasting me on Twitter. He's having some So, but it's all good. He knows who he is. So we didn't get no fan questions this week. I forgot to mention, like us on Facebook as well. We're trying to hopefully, you know, get some people to. Hopefully we'll hit 200 likes by the end of the season. That's kind of my goal right now. We average like one a week. We're there.
Where are we at right now?
192.
Oh, we can do this.
Yeah, I think we can. I think we can. So, Patrick, Syracuse, Saturday. Let's see. Don't turn the ball over. Come in focused. You grab an early lead. Make the walk-on quarterback. Don't take it easy just because he's a walk-on quarterback. Just go ahead and blitz him. Just treat him like you would, like you're playing your 6-year-old brother in the field behind your house in football.
Yeah, you know? Welcome to the SEC, young man.
Right. Yeah. You know, sorry that you got thrust into this situation, but
you asked for it.
Yeah, we're gonna mistreat you a little bit. So
yeah,
you know, hopefully don't knock him out because they're two quarterbacks down already. So.
They'd be strictly Wildcat at that point.
Yeah, they'd just be, you know, we might even loan them somebody.
So, yeah, we've had a couple.
Yeah, we give them for next brother.
There you go.
Just trade. Make a trade right then and there. We'll give you, you know.
We could use one more D lineman if they got one just for backup.
Sure, yeah, we'll take a D lineman. Maybe an extra linebacker.
We'll set something like that. We'll just a little depth. Else.
You know. No, we don't need much else. Maybe no punter.
So anyway, the whole key is just don't get lazy. Don't get lazy on Saturday.
Yeah, let's get into this game. Let's take care of business. Let's stay injury free. You know, that's always the biggest concern. And you know, just do what needs to be done. And
get on that flight at 3:00. Head yourself back, and let's have another good week.
Yeah, I mean, stick to the game plan. I mean. Not much else to be said. Well, that's it. I mean, this is almost if we were home playing like next week, this breakdown of the Syracuse game, it's the same thing you're going to hear next week for Eastern Michigan. I don't know how the hell we're going to talk about.
We'll change Syracuse. The names and we'll talk about their mascot and maybe their cheerleaders like our guest did last week or something. I don't know.
I'm hoping this game gives us really nothing to talk about next week. Because if we have a lot to talk about, it's not going to be good. I hope it's just like a dead show. It's going
to
be like,
I'd like to talk a little more about the passing game. So I hope that opens up just
hope this is a good opportunity for them to work on some things. They can do some things early on. Of course, if we jump out 28-0 in the first half, Les is not going to do that anyway. So hopefully
he just doesn't do that to teams. You're right.
Yeah, so... It's possible we could throw the ball 8 times in this game.
True.
I mean, so.
Is it possible, knock on wood, that we're going to see our number 2 quarterback in this game?
No.
Okay, just checking. Just checking with you.
No, if you didn't see him against Auburn late in the game, you're not going to see him this week.
I'm just checking with you.
Not this week. You might see him against Eastern Michigan late in the game.
Okay. Gotcha.
I don't think you see him on the road. I really don't, unless it's completely out of hand. If
we're up by 35 points in the fourth quarter,
if it's like,
I can see that.
If it's like that Arizona game 2003 when it was like 52-6 or whatever it was.
Yep.
Or Ole Miss in 2011, 59-3. Mm-hmm. If it's like that, yeah, you might throw a little Anthony Jennings in there. But other than that, no, I don't think so.
Okay.
I really don't. I mean, Brent has a guy.
Oh, agreed. Agreed.
That's
which is a great thing. We have a guy, which is better than we can say about a lot of programs right now.
We do. Yeah. I mean, just look around the SEC. I mean, we have a, you know, for years, I mean, granted, we're not, I mean, I think we have, what, 100 and, how many total yards passing do we have so far this season? 170? I mean, ain't
maybe,
much.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's not much. But, you know, it doesn't need to be much right now. He's doing exactly what we need him to do, and I think, like we talked about, it's just kind of a sleeping kind of giant thing. It's kind of waiting to where he's going to have when we're going to be ready to throw the ball. When we're going to need to throw, and we're going to need to complete some passes. I think he'll be ready to do it. Just right now, there's really no point in doing it. You know, we don't have to.
No, save it.
Yeah. So anyway, go show pick 'em challenge.
Oh yeah.
I suck. I'm terrible. I think I went 4-7 last week, or 4-8. How many games we had? Or maybe 3-8. It was bad. It was bad. I don't know how you did, but I was bad. Bad.
I didn't even look yet. I'll look a little later when I actually physically pick them online.
All right. Well, Go Show Pick'em Challenge in partnership with AnnaValleyShook.com. Compete for weekly prizes, season end prizes. We are picking 11 to 13 games, give or take, against the spread each week. And we will not break down every game because that's going to take forever. So we're going to look at about 4 or 5 games today. Of course, we will finish it off with LSU and Syracuse. So as soon as I get this pulled up, I am going to start stop delaying. And this is called a time filler, Pat.
Oh, it's a time filler. So that's when your co-host should probably say something while you're trying to look something up so you're not doing two things at once.
Dude, Southern going to Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
60.5.
You got to be kidding me.
I didn't think they put spreads on these games. 60.5. Pat, who you got?
I'm sorry, but I'm taking Georgia.
Me too. Honestly, no. I think that's a lot of points, man.
You know what, though? I just think Georgia's actually going to – I really do think Georgia's going to cover that.
That's insane. 60.5 points. All right. You talked me into it. What the hell? I'm like – 8 games on the 500 right now. Anyway, what's it freaking matter? Anyway, I just had to throw that one out there. Here we go.
That's put out there so that everybody picks Southern. You know that.
Oh yeah, without question. It's a sucker bet. It's 60.5. It's 60.5 sucker bet.
It's a half point that's going to kill you when you get to 60.
Right. Here's an interesting spread. BYU is who actually finally did not win on a Hail Mary for once. Going to Michigan. Getting 5.5.
Whoo, man. I think on this one, I really think that Harbaugh is going to start. You're going to start to see some of that influence a little bit after a few games. I'm going to take Michigan in this one at home. I think okay. BYU's luck's going to run out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to make that unanimous as well and pick Michigan and keep it moving. Tennessee at Florida. Tennessee going to the swamp. Florida looking pretty strong on defense. Tennessee really got to be kicking themselves because they should be 3-0 right now and should be the talk of the SEC East along with Georgia. But blew that game against Oklahoma. This is a put-up-or-shut-up game. This is a battle test game for both of these teams. Two teams, Florida, who's playing a little bit better maybe than what people may have expected early on, but still, you know, got to contain Josh Dobbs. Florida still a little unsure at quarterback, but nevertheless, Tennessee getting 1.5 in the swamp.
God, this is going to be a matter of who does the better coaching job of motivating them to get ready for this game and preparing them. This isn't about the players. This is about the coaching here. I've got to say McElwain's still trying to change the culture there. I'm going to have to go with Tennessee in this one. It was so close last year, and I think Tennessee's looking to say this is like you said, put up or shut up, revenge, everything else. I'm going Tennessee in this one.
Yeah, I got to agree with you on this one, too. They have the X factor in Dobbs. If they can't win this game with Dobbs,
write them off
the road. I don't think Butch Jones is the answer to Tennessee. Or maybe Josh Dobbs isn't as good as we all thought. It all depends on playing good against Oklahoma. And I don't know how they end up coming back. I don't know if he turned the ball over. I'm not sure what he did.
But well, the guys, quarterback for Oklahoma just started coming on. He did well.
Yeah. So. But I'm making unanimous too. I like Tennessee in this one. We'll keep on moving on. Let's see if I can find a game out of conference real quick. I'm not really too concerned.
There's a Pac 12 US, 14 game.
UCLA and Arizona. That's what you're talking about. That's both teams undefeated. Arizona, Rich Rod, UCLA getting tabbed as a top four right now by a couple people. Traveling to Arizona and. Arizona getting 3.5 at home.
I'm taking the home team in this one. I'm not sold on UCLA. I saw a little bit of their game. I'm just not sold on them yet. I know they supposedly have a good quarterback and this and that, but Arizona's playing at home. You know, I'm taking the home team. That's all.
See, my whole home dogs. I love to take home underdogs in big game situations like this, but it always backfires on me. Didn't work last week. I lost a couple of them like that last week. I can't remember who it was. I lost Tennessee 2 weeks before. So I'm going UCLA. I'm going against you for the first time tonight.
All right, go ahead.
Moving back to the conference here, we'll go a couple more. LSU, Mississippi State, Auburn. We talked about that one earlier. Auburn getting the 3 points basically for being on their home field. They are a 3.5 point favorite. I'll start this one off. New starting quarterback. I guess Auburn fans are gonna be excited. Dak Prescott on the road, Mississippi State. There's nothing I really saw from Auburn that says they're going to win this game. And still a new quarterback. I got to go with the more experienced quarterback. And I like Mississippi State. You know, they're getting 3.5. You know, this could be a 1 point game either way, which makes it a cover for Mississippi State no matter what. So I'm still a Bulldog.
This I could flip a coin on, literally on this game. You know, I'm going to pick with just a gut feeling here, but I don't think Auburn has a choice but to win this game. And I think that choice, you know, this is the rest of their season right here. This is it. So I'm actually going to take Auburn at home to cover that.
Okay. All right. A&M, Arkansas. Is this game one of the neutral site SEC games?
Yep, it's at Jerry's World.
Okay, all right, I thought so. They did this last year too, didn't they?
Yep.
Okay. Arkansas getting 7.5, Pat.
Oh, I don't think Arkansas is a good football team at all. I'm taking A&M.
Yeah, apparently this loss of Jonathan Williams as running back has hurt them a lot more than what they kind of led you to believe early in the season. They were saying, oh, they still got a good guy behind them. But right now, they just – by the way, Cliff Kingsbury –
oh,
you might be my new favorite coach in football.
Hey, if Bielema would just quit talking and worry about coaching, you know, I'd have a whole – but I'm going to take A&M just to keep pounding him in the dirt anyway.
Right, yeah, there we go.
I can't stand Chaves. I hope both teams score about 50 points, but I hope A&M scores about 60 and Arkansas scores 50.
That would be pretty sweet. I'm going with you as well. I'm going A&M in this one as well, so – finally, LSU Syracuse. LSU traveling to the Carrier Dome. 2-0. Both teams undefeated. Syracuse giving up 46 rushing yards a game.
Ooh.
which is third in FBS.
You think that's going to stand up?
Against Rhode Island, Wake Forest, and Central Michigan. So, no, I don't think it's going to stand up. I think LSU is going to lay the wood. I got a good feeling. Maybe it's gas. I got a good feeling, Pat. I picked them not to cover last week, and I was proven to be a fool. And you know what they say, fool me once, shame on you.
Oh, yeah.
Give me LSU in the points. I'd lay a 24.5, and I feel pretty good about it.
You know what? I'm with you. I think we're gonna see that added element this week to their offensive game plan, and the defense is stout. You know, so yeah, I can see us winning this game by more than 24 easily.
All right. That does it for Pick'em. That does
awesome.
It for the show. Does it for the show. Again, we had a good conversation with John Casillo from www. I just like saying this. Troy Tunes is an absolute magician.com. SB Nation's type of Syracuse. So that's on tap. Patrick Morris, podcast pushing buttons behind the scenes. Flying high on a Wednesday, LSU. Feeling a lot better than what we did back in August. And hopefully that trend continues with a solid victory in New York against Syracuse on Saturday. See y'all next week. We are done. Good night. Bye-bye. Go Tigers. And joining us right now on the Go Show from fellow SB Nation site, it is www.troynoonsisanabsolutemagician.com. We have John Casillo from that site. How you doing, John?
How's it going, guys?
First things first, did I get the name of that website right?
You did.
Outstanding. So we're joined by John Cancillo. You are a SB Nation for that site, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'm one of the Sean Keeley really runs the place and has for almost a decade now, actually, and I kind of serve as managing editor.
Okay, so you're like the podcast editor style. We have our guy who's behind the scenes recording the show right now, and you're kind of like him. Okay, very cool. So Syracuse is actually a 3-0 hosting LSU. And I don't know much of. I mean, Syracuse is what, ACC? Yes, I knew that. And so far, Rhode Island, Wake Forest, which is a conference game, and then Central Michigan last week. Three good wins. Is that kind of what y'all expected coming in, starting off the season? What were the expectations going into 2015 for the Orange?
I think going into 2015, I mean, obviously we had a different quarterback in place. Terrell Hunt, who was a fifth-year senior, was a starter for a grand total of probably 20 real-time minutes until he unfortunately tore his ACL. But yeah, you know what? As soon as we saw we had a capable backup in Eric Dungy, I think 3-0 was still on the table for most SU fans. I think those are three winnable games. I mean, the second two in particular, not incredibly easy. Wake Forest, while maybe one of the lesser Power 5 teams, it's not like we aren't one of those lesser Power 5 teams. And then Central Michigan obviously has some playmakers, though the talent level on Syracuse was able to win out despite a ton of injuries in that game.
Gotcha. When did so your starter, your first starter towards ACL in the game against Rhode Island?
Yes, like right in the first quarter.
Oh, wow. So, and then Dungy came in and he got a concussion last week against Central Michigan?
Yeah, real dirty hit, unfortunately. Knocked him out of that game.
Can't trust those Central Michigan punks. So, that sucks. So it's Zach Mahoney. Is that the guy's name?
Yep, Zach Mahoney's a sophomore walk-on.
Gotcha. Wow. So, get thrown into the fire, gets to host you know, in the Carrier Dome, gets to, you know, welcome LSU into the fold. Y'all excited about that? Are y'all kind of, I mean, I imagine a little nervous with a walk-up quarterback, a walk-on starting at quarterback. But, you know, a team right now, y'all are, what, I think third in FBS in rushing yards allowed. So, then again, you have, you know, somebody the caliber of Leonard Fournette coming to town. So, how do you go about stopping Fournette? What do y'all think the game plan is going to be?
To stop Fournette, I think we're going to have to load the box up quite a bit. SU, for the most part, does a good job stopping the run by just employing different types of run blitzes. They'll really kind of drag in everybody. You'll see a lot of safety blitzes, corner blitzes. The front seven is just really, really aggressive against the run and pass. Against Fournette, it's not going to work out incredibly well. We faced good running backs before, but I don't think we faced anyone with the skill set that Fournette seems to possess, at least from all the tape that I've seen. But I think you're going to see a lot of stack in the box. We're probably going to try to, you know, get six or seven in there, especially with a secondary that's already pretty questionable. Might as well just go for broke and try to stop the run.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we're going to do. There's no really big secrets. I don't imagine we're going to come out five wide in an air raid attack against y'all all of a sudden and just change up what we're doing successfully right now. Who are some of the guys? First of all, let me get this out of the way. The defense y'all run. I think I read. Y'all run a base 40 defense. Is it 4-3?
Yeah, it's a base 4-3. Okay. And then we probably run a blitz package out of there 60-70% of the time.
Okay, so you have a lot of run blitzing, just kind of bringing guys from different angles.
Oh yeah, I mean you'll see. I don't know how much tape, if any, you guys have watched, but it's definitely there's a lot of activity around the line of scrimmage before the snap, and you'll see usually you know between five or six guys hanging around the line of scrimmage before the snap, before everyone kind of sets themselves. But there's usually at least some sort of blitz happening.
Gotcha. Who are some of the guys we need to watch out for defensively?
I mean, the first one is Ron Thompson. Any SU fan would probably tell you guys the same. Thompson's a big athletic defensive end, converted tight end, gets some goal line carries here and there. He's just a probably the team's best overall athlete, top to bottom. And, you know, he's heavily involved in every play, run blitz, whether he's going after the quarterback, doesn't seem to matter. Thompson will have his hand in on just about everything. Another guy is Zaire Franklin. He's the middle linebacker, captain for the team. And he's another one who he just finds his way in. He finds his way to ball carriers. He's forced a couple turnovers already this year. So those two guys in particular are really ones to watch. I know John Raymond, who's a defensive tackle, he's another guy who's obviously going to be plugging that middle if you guys are going to run four net between the tackles.
Very good. Again, we're talking to John Casillo. He is from slipped my mind already.
Troy Noon's an absolute magician.
AbsoluteMagician.com. That is, I guarantee you, the most unique SB Nation site I have heard of to date. And we've been, you know, we've been doing a ghost show now for 10 years, and we've been part of Anna Valley Shook for probably, I think, five now, half that time, and we get a lot of different guests from other SB Nation sites. Definitely one of the most unique names, and so without question, so you got that going for y'all, so that'll work. So switching gears to the offensive side of the ball, you know, through three games, I mean, it looks to be y'all kind of look pretty. Like, I guess from what I'm looking at, is it a little bit of a balanced offense, maybe a little bit more heavy, a little bit heavier to the run. Actually, a lot more heavy. It's like 2-1 now that I'm looking at it. So you got Jordan Fredrickson. Looked like I was between him and when Dungy carried the ball a lot for y'all too. So he was a dual threat guy. So that's, I guess that element's probably gone. I don't know what y'all are really going to get out of Mahoney in that regard. I don't know. Is he a dual threat guy? Is he a pocket guy?
He actually is a dual threat guy. I think, you know, he was talking to media the other day, and it seems like that's what has gotten him a little bit more reps with the first team offense, you know, in the prep for this game than Austin Wilson, who's a little bit more experienced, you know, redshirt sophomore. But he's definitely a drop back guy. So you're going to see some Wilson, but Mahoney's definitely going to get, I'd say, the lion's share of the snaps. And you saw at the end of the Central Michigan game when they just decided to stick with Mahoney, who could continue to run the option that we were running for a good portion of the game with Dungy. Mahoney was able to help the team get it, you know, into the end zone with that. So I think you're going to see a whole lot more option looks. I don't know how varied the play calling is going to be, just based on the fact that, you know, he's a walk-on. He probably doesn't have the playbook down as much as some of the other players on that depth chart. But, yeah, you're definitely going to see a lot of run. I think Fredericks is definitely the guy to watch. He won't get the start necessarily. I think you'll probably see Devontae McFarlane, who's a junior, get that. But Fredericks will probably get the lion's share of the carries right out of the backfield.
Okay, it looks like, yeah, y'all do a little bit of running back by committee. You have Fredericks, who has he leads the team in carries, and you have Chris McFarlane, who you mentioned, and also Jacob Hill, who also is, you know, they're all kind of, you know, Fredericks has the lead, but then you got Morris, Hill, and McFarlane all around 18 to 20 carries, it looks like. All of them, you know, Morris, all of them pretty good yards per average, yards per carry. McFarlane a little bit down at 3.5, but, you know, your top two guys, Fredericks and Morris, right, they had over 6 yards a carry. I mean, how do y'all look to attack LSU's defense? I don't do a whole lot of homework when we have especially non-conference teams. I don't get a chance to watch many Syracuse games. But if you've seen any weaknesses in LSU's defense to this point, to where you think y'all can attack and maybe expose some things?
I think for us, it's really going to depend on, you know, can Mahoney run some semblance of the offense we had going? And I think misdirection is just a really big deal and has been. Again, it's tough to talk about too much of what we're going to see, only because, you know, Dungy had a ton of speed on the outside, and what he was able to do, you know, is keep defenses guessing. He also had a great arm. So, you know, you had kind of, I mean, that's why the option worked, because really defenses were on their toes, had no idea what he was going to do the second he started rolling out. With Mahoney, it'll be a stripped down version of that. If he can If he can get the defense to bite on anything, I think that's the only way Syracuse can really move this ball. There's some good playmakers in the passing game, but I'm really not seeing Mahoney pass a ton. It's kind of hard to say, you know, how much he's going to be able to get the ball to his wide receivers. So we really might be relegated to just hoping we can wear down that front with, you know, as you mentioned, a running back by committee setup. And you might see all of those guys get, you know, somewhere between 5 to 7 carries and Mahoney get 5 to 7 himself.
Gotcha. I tell you, if y'all can, I'm gonna tell you where LSU's weak. It's over the middle. You know, we saw it when Mississippi State charged back a couple of weeks ago. We saw Dak Prescott really attack the middle of the field, and you know, with guys coming out of the backfield or tight ends kind of crossing, you know, going across the middle. You know, short passes, nothing deep. Deep crossing routes probably out of the question because we have two pretty good lockdown corners. But you know, over the middle, we are susceptible. So if that's, I think if Syracuse can do some things and keep us off balance, they can maybe, you know, make it interesting for LSU by keeping us on our toes a little bit. I mean, I think it's important that they do some things early to avoid to keep the keep the rush off them a little bit, because LSU is showing a tendency definitely in the first two games to bring pressure as opposed to last year. And I've talked about this with my co-host Patrick. We kind of sat back and we were more read and react last year. This year we seem to be more attacking. So, you know, definitely if you can find a matchup or a right play call in the right situation, I got to think getting something going early would be nothing but beneficial for Syracuse. And, you know, could definitely, you know, do some things. I don't know what your expectations are coming to this game. I don't know if you're an absolute homer where you think Syracuse has a chance. Are you kind of a realist? I mean, I don't know. I was a casual fan, I would look at this and say LSU's got the definite advantage. I'm very superstitious. I don't want to just come out and say LSU's gonna be a cakewalk, because I think LSU could possibly sleepwalk through this first half, and that's what kind of scares me. And it's I've seen LSU teams do this before, and maybe it's a different team this year. I don't know. We've only seen two games so far, so I don't know really. The first drive of the game, the first couple of drives of the game, will really tell me all I need to know is whether or not they're sleepwalking or not through the first half. So, what's your expectations for the game on Saturday?
Definitely muted compared to what they would have been with Dungy. I think Dungy was kind of a dynamic presence that really made the offense click. With Mahoney, you're probably looking at, you know, like I said, kind of a toned down attack, and that's probably going to tone down the offensive production. So we're going to rely on defense to be opportunistic, create turnovers. I mean, right now we're near the top of the country in forced turnovers, and I think if we can continue that, maybe force you guys into some mistakes. That's the only way that we stick around this game past maybe the first half, because, you know, this one's going to have to be a slog. I don't think we're going to outscore you guys with a walk-on quarterback, so we're going to have to revert back to the way we, you know, were playing for the first 2 years under our head coach, Scott Schaefer, and that's much more defensively minded, you know, really, really, really locking folks down and trying to win like an ugly, ugly, like 17-14 type game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, turnovers, especially on your home turf, is a definite X factor. I mean, look no further than Alabama Ole Miss this past Saturday, where Alabama, dominated every statistical category, but with -5 in turnovers, and that was, the difference in the game. So, that's something that could definitely be beneficial for Syracuse on Saturday if they can force LSU to some early mistakes and catch them sleepwalking and maybe get a couple of early scores and kind of shock LSU. I mean, who knows what happens? I mean, of course, you know, it's, you know, only time will tell, and I think LSU would just resort back to just toss, dive in the front net as many times as possible. But, you know, from a personal standpoint, I don't want to see him carry the ball more. If he only carries the ball 12 times in this game, that means LSU's pretty successful and has a pretty insurmountable lead. I don't want him to have to carry the ball 27 times to win on Saturday, just from my personal standpoint. So, you know, it's one of those games where it's a good opportunity for Syracuse. I mean, definitely, other than conference games, probably, I mean, definitely y'all biggest opponent coming into the Carry Dome. I don't know who y'all have in conference. I don't know if y'all play the Clemsons or the Florida States of the world this year or not.
Yeah, I play both of them, unfortunately, every year.
Oh, so y'all, so it's the same division. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that does suck. So, I don't know, man. Clemson looked a little weak against Louisville, so who knows. But hopefully y'all get some, y'all get Dungy's out with a concussion, so he's looking to come back in what, a couple weeks?
Hopefully. I mean, we have a bye after you guys, which I think is strategic and should help a lot of guys heal up. I know we have some injuries kind of lingering. And then, yeah, I mean, you never know with concussions. Those things can last a week and a half. They can last 4 weeks. I'm just hoping the kid can come back and be ready to go in October because, you know, the stretch before you guys and then the two games after against USF and UVA were kind of our, like, big, okay, we need to win five games before you know, mid-October if we really want to have a legitimate shot at a bowl game.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, that concussion protocol, man, it's got to – definitely got to – you got to cross your T's and dot your I's with all that stuff these days. So, but, yeah, best of luck to him. And he gets there, recovers, and get y'all – when y'all get to the media conference play. And hopefully y'all can make some noise. Of course, y'all are more noted for basketball, but in mass communications. And a little bit of some football guys, Donovan McNabb, obviously. Looking forward to it. I wish I could make that trip because I've never been to New York, the highest point east. I think I've been is D.C. Little bit of a nice to make that trip, but you know, maybe another day. But we'll close it out here, and we'll let you. I'll let you go ahead and give a score prediction, if you
sure.
want to. You don't have to.
No, I will. As much as I want to pretend that this is going to be a closer game, and I mean, maybe again, if we can drag you guys into the mud a little bit, it turns into a closer one. But I'm seeing 34 to 10. I just don't see the type of Syracuse being able to run the type of offense they have in previous weeks, and with a pretty one-dimensional attack that's going to revolve around our running backs. I just don't think we're going to have the firepower and the horses to hang with you guys.
I got you. Again, he's John Casillo. He is from SB Nation site Troy Noons.
Troy Noons, indeed.
Troy Noons is an absolute magician. .com. That's the name of the website. John, can the Go Show fans and Elevation fans follow y'all on Twitter?
Of course. You can find us at Noons Magician, or you can find me at John Casillo. Yeah, we'll be talking about the game plenty between now and afterward too, as we follow along with what hopefully is a better game than I just predicted.
Very good. I hear you. All right, John, we appreciate you joining us, man, and best of luck to y'all on Saturday, and hopefully a speedy recovery, like I said, for Eric Dungy, get him ready for conference play, and hopefully y'all can hopefully turn some heads with that option attack and doing some things in conference. So best of luck, and thank you again for joining us.
Hey, thanks to you guys, too.